Imagine thinking of yourself as a normal, healthy human being when suddenly you feel your life quickly slipping away right in front of your family. From death's door to health advocate, today my co-host is going to share her near-death experience and how God redirected the course of her life entirely. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Life TV Now, where we unpack all matters of truth, faith, and freedom. If you missed last week, go back to the archives wherever you watch this program, because we talked about a lot of the inspiration behind what we hope to accomplish with this program in terms of bringing you truth, where politics wants to overstep boundaries and presume to control your life, when pharmaceutical industries want to control your life. We talked a lot about last week finding freedom through Jesus Christ, His medicine, and the agency that He has given to us so that we can do life well. My beautiful wife, Catherine. And my co-host, Jamie Woodall, who is an integrative nutrition health coach with a Master of Science in Health Education. You know, Jamie, we just launched our pilot for this program last week, and so I don't want to take for granted that the audience may want to get to know who's up here on panel. My wife, of course, was a part of my testimonial last week, and she weighed in just a little bit. But for those wondering, an integrative nutrition health coach with a Master of Science in Health Education, they might just assume that you've always been a part of natural healing or holistic health or the approach to living life that way. But that wasn't always the case, was it?
No.
And you lived through something very terrifying, kind of like I shared about my own journey. So many of the people now that we see as we do health conferences and we meet those that have become, you know, natural doctors or doctors of homeopathy, these are people who often have kind of what we call a Genesis story. They were a part of the Babylonian construct, or they were deeply into allopathic medicine, or very, very ill, and it wasn't until they discovered God's medicine that they feel that they were given their lives back. Well, that was not completely foreign to you either, right? You lived through something that almost took your life.
I did. I had a health scare and nearly lost my life. But I want to go back to the beginning. I grew up relatively in poverty. My parents were much older. They lived through the Great Depression. And my father was a gardener. He loved to garden. He had corn, carrots, peas, and I used to walk through the garden and eat them raw. My dad would often juice the carrots, and he would eat raw garlic when he was sick, which I always thought was really gross. His breath was horrid, burns the eyes, and I never could do it, ever. But as time went on and I grew up, my sister would come and live with us at times because her husband was in the military, and she would make something called dandelion milkshakes, where she would basically go and pick dandelion leaves off the side of the road, wash them really good, and make them into something her and her boys thought was delicious. I did not agree. I thought it tasted like grass, but they loved it somehow. She was very holistic. And I always admired that. And I think I've just generally had a curiosity for health, but it was not a big priority in my life. It wasn't a huge focus. And so I grew up and became an adult. I was in the military for a time being, where I met my husband. And I only did 6 years and then became a stay-at-home mom. Well, fast forward, and I'm 36 years old. I am a mother of two. I am working as a preschool teacher at a Christian school. And I found myself, after many years of yo-yo dieting, being well over 200 pounds to the point I was so ashamed to even step on a scale. I don't know exactly how much I was, but I'm only 5'4". And so that definitely put me into a pretty good obese category on the books.
But for context, when you say yo-yo dieting, so there was effort to try to lose weight.
Oh, yeah.
Was it because you wanted to look better, or was it because you felt really bad, or both, or just...
It was for vanity reasons, for sure. I wanted to be thin. I kind of took after my mom. My mom grew up in the era of Weight Watchers and low-fat diets, and I kind of was, you know, getting on... I did keto for 9 months and lost 33 pounds, and then gained it back plus more.
Right.
And it put me in this obese category.
And what you're describing is probably going to be some of the viewers. Have I either identified with this in the past... Right. Or they're living it out now, and they're now probably immediately wondering, okay, well, then how have you lost weight and kept it off? But we'll get to some of that, but continue.
I felt very ashamed of my weight. And yeah. I don't know why I carried that, but I did. I was very ashamed of it.
For sure.
And I was tired all the time, though. Very tired. Yeah. And I kind of attributed it to, I was a preschool teacher part-time, and then I was also going to school online to get my bachelor's degree. And I just thought, well, I'm just really tired. Mm-hmm. But I found myself in this very common cycle of coming home, being too tired to cook. And so it was some type of frozen lasagna.
Yep, just right. Whatever's fast.
Yeah, absolutely. My kids had drawers, Tupperware drawers of Little Debbie snacks and Goldfish and whatever right. other kind of just processed, quick to grab. They like it. Yeah. It's no fuss. But there was one day, it was my husband's birthday. We went out to, it was like a hibachi sushi restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I was very, very depressed normally, but even worse on this day, because today was the day we had to tell our kids that it was Daddy's turn to deploy. And okay. so we're trying to put on a happy face, and it's Daddy's birthday. And
because he's getting ready to leave town. Yeah. He's yeah. in the military.
Yeah.
Just so people miss that, she said they're going to have to reveal to the kids that Daddy's getting ready to deploy.
Yes. And we were so blessed up until this point, because the only deployment he had been on was he and I together deployed before we had kids. And this was the first time he was going alone. We tried to put on the happy face mm-hmm. and celebrate. We came home, got out the chocolate cake. I ate way more than I should have. I think just trying to feed that want to feel
yeah.
happy,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
We tell the kids Daddy has to leave and they're crying. And we cry together. But at one point, after all the tears, I realized that my daughter had a science project that had to go to school with her the next day. So I went ahead and got it and put it into the van. And I didn't realize right away, but when I came out of the van, I had been stepping on a fire ant hill. Now, we lived in South Carolina at the time, and fire ants are everywhere. You can't avoid them. You try to get rid right. of them, and they just move. And I didn't notice this hill. And so I looked down, and there were several on my leg, and I tried to brush them off. And then I go inside, and this heat starts to rise up in me. And I know instantly, somehow I knew, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit, I was like, I need Benadryl. And so I go digging through our little bin of medication and I can't find it. And it's escalating. I know this is suddenly a crisis. And so I go upstairs and I sit on the bed where my husband and children are still consoling themselves after learning about the deployment. And I tell my husband, go get me some Benadryl. I can't find it. And he saw the panic in my eyes and he quickly rushes downstairs and I'm sitting there and all of a sudden this darkness starts to close in and I feel my eyes getting so heavy and I feel the need to possibly vomit. And I get on my hands and knees because I was too weak to stand and my eyes couldn't stay open well enough to walk. So I'm crawling to the bathroom and I yell out to my 9-year-old daughter. I said, call 911. And I make it to the bathroom and I am horribly ill and I don't know what is wrong, but I remember my husband saying that they're on their way. They're on their way. Get out of the bathroom. And I was like, I can't, I literally cannot move. So the firemen are there and they're asking me to open my eyes and I can't, I cannot open my eyes. So eventually they go to lift me up and I pass out. And all I know is I wake up and I am like crouched down in this field with wheat, like golden ripe wheat, and it's gently swaying.
This is what you're seeing.
This is what I'm seeing. I'm experiencing it. Yeah.
So you couldn't open your eyes, and the next thing you know, would you say that you had like transcended to another space?
I was definitely.
Your lived experience. You were suddenly somewhere else.
I was somewhere else. And there was this peace, and it was bright, like sunshiny, although I don't recall there being a sun, but it was bright. And off in the distance, and I'm looking through this wheat, and I see Jesus standing profile to me, and he's speaking to somebody who's down, almost like a warrior would bow before a king, and he's speaking. And I'm trying really hard to listen to what he's saying, and I look at the person bowing, and I realize that's me, and I'm in a white robe, and I try intently to listen harder, and then all of a sudden, I'm back in my body, and the pain hits me, and the stress, and the paramedics had given me an EpiPen and brought me back to consciousness, and I was mad. I was furious that I was back because the place that I was beautiful and free and light. And we don't even realize it, but being on earth, there is this burden to breathe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not That's having right. that, you don't even realize it, is just free and full of peace and love. And I was mad that they brought me back and my eyes were still closed. And I was like, no, I was talking to someone. And the paramedic, he says, it was me. And I was like, no, not you. And they carried me down the stairs. And I just felt so bad that they had to struggle at my heavyweight to get me down the stairs. And I kept apologizing. And they put me in the ambulance. And the pain is horrible at this time. I don't know if any of our viewers or any of you have experienced anaphylactic shock, but there is this intense cramping, almost like labor pains, and I was in intense pain, and they couldn't give me anything until I got to the hospital. But I struggled for a long time after that with, well, I'm here on this earth, and there's nothing I can do about that right now, or nothing that I will do about that. I do want to be there for my kids and my family. I love them. I don't want to leave them. But also, it's kind of sucky to be on earth compared to where I was. And so I dealt with that over time, but I realized that I think I'm here for a reason and I need to do something with my life. And I realized that I was incredibly unhealthy because I, up until this anaphylactic shock, I had never had an allergy in my life. And I had been bitten by fire ants many times. We'd lived in the Carolinas for almost 9 years at this point. Yep. I had no reason to ever suspect that could happen. So I had no EpiPen or anything. And so God really moved mountains because we were just a couple of weeks away from my husband having to deploy. Yeah. And that was really nerve-wracking for him because I work on a playground and I'm going to be continually exposed to fire ants.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what if my wife dies while I'm deployed?
Right.
Yeah. And so that was really weighing on us. And we were praying and praying. And we didn't know what the solution was going to be. I bought high boots and like cover-ups and just made sure that as little of my body was exposed as possible out on the playground. But then my husband got orders to Utah, which is incredibly rare because deployments always take priority. He had all his paperwork done. He was practically out processed to go on this deployment. And suddenly there were orders in his inbox to move to Utah, which, by the way, there are no fire ants in Utah. So we were very, very excited. And when I got to Utah, I felt this refreshing, this renewing. And I felt like I'm going to get on top of my health. I'm going to do this. And it was about that time, Joe, that you came out with Time Bomb. So I got Time Bomb and I started reading it and I was devouring it, soaking it up, finding out about how to read labels. And
I hadn't seen you in years.
No.
We had maintained friendship from the early 2000s because we did ministerial work at Camp Davidson.
That's right.
Which was a retreat center for young people and we served them.
It was a youth camp.
Yeah, it was a youth camp. But we also did some ministerial work with Royal Family Kids and some of the stuff that if you follow the ministry of my family, you would know that we serve children that have been pulled out of sex trafficking. And we do that now, currently. Yeah. Kids that are wards of the state and kids Foster that have been abused in every possible way. And this program isn't about that. But anyway, you and I had done some of that, decades ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But other than keeping in touch via email or an occasional catch up over the phone, you and I were not in regular correspondence. Mm-mm, so I had no idea that you even had a copy of my book.
Yes.
And I didn't know you were reading it.
Yeah, and I remember vividly sitting out on my porch in the sunlight and drinking my Zevia because that was a healthier step up than soda. I had to cut out the soda, and so I felt like I was really doing something for my health, and I'm reading the book, and I'm learning all these things.
Well, and for context, for people unfamiliar with this Time Bomb and a book called, it was a book I put out in 2018 called Time Bomb that explained my journey through different but very similar construct things.
Yeah.
So allopathic medicine, surgeries, autoimmunity, digestive disorders, all kinds of issues, all of the standard thing, acid reflux, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And feeling like I was basically dying at 34.
Yeah.
And then when God showed me, and you can go back to last week's program when we did the pilot if you want the slightly longer version, but God showed me through surrogates of natural health that my life could be different.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came out with that book, it was really just the want to share that with the world.
Yeah.
We were going to clinics. I'm thinking of myself like a genetic anomaly. They'll never figure out what's going on with me, I said for years and years. But now I'm into the natural medicine train. I'm finding out this is not just me.
Right.
I'm learning that this is people that had very malevolent diseases that they were told would take their life that year. And they're post when they would have been ringing bells, and they look better than prior to when they discovered the thing in their body.
Right.
And like, how can this be? I had to tell the world, like, man, if you're trapped by that construct of people that are blaming genetics and they're saying diet is irrelevant and offering surgeries, and, you know, not that there aren't situations on occasion where you might need an allopathic intervention. So following a car accident, there's probably not a lot of green tea that's going to get an infection out of your neck if radiator fluid has, you know, busted into the front end of your face and you're in a monstrous situation. But in terms of reversing long-term things, you know, natural medicine, in our view, has become completely superior.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
So not to have taken over, but I was learning that this is not just Joe Horn. This is a lot of people
are finding
wellness through this alternative that the world mostly looks at and says is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we're like, no, flip that. The people that are lining up and then marching behind someone else to follow that Pied Piper of medicine, instead of looking at the fact that there's alternative. I was that guy at one point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So getting back to your story, I write the book Time Bomb. It's this celebration of herbal medicine and my exodus from the Babylonian system.
Yeah.
That's designed to keep you sick and to keep you a customer for life. And I'm not saying that your doctor is a part of a malevolent industry that personally has a vested interest in depopulating the world. But the pharmaceutical companies that have a lot of influence over how a lot of academia is shaped in the first place is what a lot of these doctors are learning from. And I'll just leave it
at that. Absolutely.
That was what the book Time Bomb was about. So you're reading that book, you're coming out of this anaphylaxis, and you're wanting to devote your life to being well. Context. That's why this book, Time Bomb, was so revelatory for you, right?
Yeah, it absolutely was. I started cleaning out my pantry. I went cold turkey on a lot of things. Some other things were a little bit slower to kind of wean off. Mm-hmm. But I started making my family largely plant-based, not exclusively so, but there was just a lot of chopping of vegetables and recipes like that, which was to my children's dismay because they were used to Little Debbie's and Stouffer lasagna. And so this was really difficult for them.
Uh-huh.
They eventually have cottoned on more. I wish I would have started from the beginning with the healthy eating. It would have been easier. But I started to lose weight as soon as I cleaned out my pantry and started focusing on plant-based foods, animal proteins, just right to the basics. The weight started to come off naturally. I hadn't even joined a gym at this point. I did eventually and found that group classes felt less like exercise because it was more fun, like you're doing something with friends. And that helped. And just over time, changing those habits, the weight came off and I wasn't tracking calories or anything like that.
That's right. I would actually offer this too. If you're watching this program and you're like, okay, but what's the secret sauce? When people ask me, you know, Joe, how do I lose weight? How do I keep it off? I say, well, first of all, much of everything that this country has told you in terms of diet and exercise about weight loss, you can kind of dismiss most of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, theory crafting weight loss diets and gimmicks. And you see all these social media ads for this magic supplement or pill that's going to drop. And then now you have this entire generation of, in particularly women, seeking medications.
Yeah.
That tinker with pancreatic and enzymatic production.
That's right.
Right.
And glucose levels. And I'm telling you, won't know for a few years what those side effects long term are going to look like.
Yeah.
And so I caution with all of my heart, pharmaceutical interventions that force normal functions in your body like pancreatic activity into something that I believe is perverted to produce an artificial result. If you didn't get there healthfully, there's going to be a consequence for that.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't understand, and this is what I tell people with weight loss in particular, so you can maybe jot this down. Weight loss is not always running on a treadmill and then calorie counting. And that is what most of the country believes it is. Wait a minute. You mean you can lose weight and not be on a treadmill, you know, 4 or 5 days a week? And in fact, here is going to strike serious controversy. I would suggest that for people that have not been evaluated in terms of their cardiovascular health or sustainability, I would not even recommend that a person with an unknown vascular situation get on a treadmill and just start seeing what they're able to do in terms of, you know, pumping blood through their body.
Mm.
That can be dangerous.
Movement is good, but it can be dangerous. It can be the thing that actually triggers an event that is very ill-advised. So I like to start in terms of weight loss, heart health, all of this. I like to start nutritionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I tell people is when your liver gets cleaned out and caught up, a lot of that weight will start falling off because your liver is behind so much of the enzymatic production that has to do in the first place with whether you absorb and receive what you're eating or whether your body is just storing it.
That's right.
Because it can't even deal with it, and you keep swallowing more of it, and your colon is completely irritated. It's inflamed. You have food passing through, leaky gut syndrome. You create a lot of metabolic disorder in the first place by eating these foods that often you feel you're getting away with, but there's this consequence.
You know, long-term.
80% of your immunity lives in your gut. You don't always feel it in the gut.
Right.
This could manifest like arthritis symptoms, or maybe they tell you you have hyperthyroidism, or maybe they tell you that you have a lethargic gallbladder and it's time to cut that out, or maybe it's time for the appendix to come out because
it's
we don't need one, is what we're told.
Yeah.
But getting back to your story, just wanted people watching the show for context to know this is probably why when you cleaned up your diet and stopped focusing on I got to stand on a scale and run on a thing and lift a deal, that your weight started to come off. Your color is completely different than it was 10 years ago, the way I remember you then. And it's because liver gets caught up.
Yeah.
Body starts breaking down foods. We're going to talk in future programs about more of that and you know, food enzymes and ways to help metabolize faster and, you know, rejuvenate vitality. But getting back to your story, you've gone through what I'll just call an awakening, this near-death experience. You're transcended to this space where you believe you see Jesus. He's got a message. But when you talk about not being able to hear what he says, it reminds me of my father. He had a situation. It was an NDE many, many decades ago where he also said there was instructions that I wasn't permitted to remember. And my dad is saying, you know, Lord, don't let me forget. Don't let me forget. You know, this thing that you've shown me, this thing that you've told me. And then, you know, he grappled with the confusion of that until later he found a verse that talked about I hide my instructions in the heart of man and then I conceal it from him to save him from pride. And then it made sense as a published author and a person on television that if he had known what the future held as a young man, pride may have messed with those plans. That's the collapsed version of it. So sometimes God writes the instructions in the middle of the night as we slumber upon our beds. He will reveal things that are meant for our bodies to receive, but we are then safeguarded. Our hubris is blocked out of the equation so that we can't then fixate on it and attach it to what we're
forcing
it to happen.
Yeah.
Before we run out of time, though, Jamie, you know, as you're sitting here today, we can talk for many, many weeks in the future about different aspects of your continued journey. But, you know, you're doing much better now.
Yes.
And I've known you for a long time. You have kept the weight off for the entire reintroduction back into our lives for the last couple of years. You continue to fight everything with nature's medicine, God's medicine, natural herbs. You eat well. You know, at holidays, she will make gluten-free things that are, you know, sweetened with things like monk fruit and not, you know, processed sugars. She lives the life. What do you hope to do on this program, but also just as a health advocate? How do you see yourself, you know, really assisting others with their journeys through things like weight loss and autoimmunity and gut health? And
yeah, well, that's exactly what I decided to do, because after I read Time Bomb, it was 2020, and I'm learning all of these things about natural healing and things you can do to support cellular health and help your immune system. And I'm watching as we all go through all the protocols for COVID, the pandemic. And I'm just thinking, if people only knew, if people knew. And that's when I decided, because I was currently almost finished with a bachelor's degree to become a counselor. And I decided, I think I'm going to pivot and I'm going to do something with health. So I duly enrolled in the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And I also, when I was finished with my bachelor's, decided that I wanted to learn the science of health education. And so that's what I did. And I used to coach people, but I just felt called to move to Missouri. And I'm just following the Holy Spirit and what God has for me. But I definitely hope on this show that we can do just that, provide the information. It needs to get out there. And there is a lot of shadow banning happening online. So this is our effort to inspire others to get healthy for yourself, for your children, and even just think about how is your health holding you back from where you want to be spiritually? Right. That was something for me that I had to deal with as well. And so I hope that we inspire you on this show because you're not alone.
Yeah.
We have been through things too. and we just want to share and help others get better.
That's right.
Yeah.
I couldn't have said it better myself, but ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we're all out of time. We're going to have to go for now. For everybody here in studio, for everybody up here on panel, Jamie, Catherine, thank you so much for being here once again this week. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back. Hello, everybody. It's Joe Artis Horn, board-certified holistic health practitioner, and I'm here to tell you that Eden's Essentials has some brand new supplements that we are very, very excited about. What do you think, Jamie?
I'm very excited. These are essential nutrients often overlooked in our nutrition.
And joining us today from the Richardson Nutrition Center, John Richardson Jr.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's my pleasure to partner with Eden's Essentials to bring this to your audience. It's fantastic. It's an absolute blessing to be working with your company. And what we've done is make this more available for more people. And that's the key. We really want to bring these nutrients that have been hidden, kind of hidden secrets, out to the general public. And that's what we're doing. And if I can describe in 30 seconds what each one of those are, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
So it's really simple. The kind of the basic one that people need to understand is B17. It's found in over 1,200 different foods. Problem is our American diet is lacking completely that B17 anymore. It's all been cooked out, processed, GMO'd out of our food to where we only get about a half a milligram a day of B17. And it gets right into your system. Then we've got our enzymes, which are the pancreatic enzymes, primarily trypsin and chymotrypsin, which eat the outer protein coating of an improperly multiplying cell, I'll just leave it at that, that eats that negatively charged protein covering and allows the B17 to activate and do its work against that thing that's covered by that protein shell, that's a negatively charged protein shell. That's produced by our pancreas, but so many people that have improperly multiplying cells, their pancreas is not working correctly. And then finally, B15 found in brown rice. We mentioned that earlier today. Also, all the seeds of stone fruits, including the apricot seed. It's pangamic acid, also known as DMG, but that's vitamin B15, which helps bring in, we have scientific proof, 20% more oxygen in your blood and 20% more oxygen in your muscles. And we know that improperly multiplying cells, those things operate in non-aerobic atmospheres. If they have oxygen, they don't like it. So that's why this scientifically proven compound coming from brown rice and apricot seeds is very valuable as part of what we call the trifecta, the B17, the B15, and the pancreatic enzymes. What my dad said for over 6,000 patients was the key to taking them from bad health to good health. We believe that together with Eden's Essential, we're bringing you the absolute best on the market.
Go ahead.